Two upcoming films with subjects which couldn't be further from one another, one about a Mexican drug cartel leader, the other about a winning high school sports team, have one common denominator. They're both made by the same prolific filmmaker. I'm Charles Horak. You're listening to On Film. Charlie Min is a documentary film producer and director with a number of diverse interests, and his new film, The El Paso Conquest, about the Del Valle High School boys soccer team, is about to debut and have its initial theatrical run next week at the Premier Cinemas at Bassett Place. Charlie, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Charles.
Almost can keep track of the seasons, I think, by your film releases. You are indeed prolific. You've got two films in the works. The first that we're going to talk about is the one that's debuting this coming Friday at Premier Cinemas. This is a sports-related documentary?
Yeah, this is about Del Valle boys soccer, and I think a lot of people in the city would not know that the Del Valle boys soccer team, they've won two state titles, one in 2005 and one in 2008. And to do that in the state of Texas is amazing because there's 10,000 high schools in this state.
Right.
I mean, I'm exaggerating, but to put this into proper perspective, through my research, only three El Paso high schools ever have won two state titles in a sport. You got El Paso girls cross country in the late 70s. You have Coronado tennis. I'm not exactly sure when that was. And then you have Del Valle boys soccer.
Right.
I mean, it's so tough to win a state title in Texas.
Something like over 550 wins, I think they've had.
Bruce Reichman, yeah, the only coach in the history of Del Valle High School. They opened up in 1987. He was
amazing.
A football coach. And they basically forced him to be the soccer coach.
Became the other football coach.
He didn't know what soccer was. He couldn't spell the word soccer. He knew nothing about running a practice. He was running football drills during his soccer practice.
So is the film mostly focused on his career or the team as a whole?
I would say both. Yeah. Both. We talk about they've made five Final Four appearances. And I would say maybe 90% of El Pasoans don't know about the Del Valle boys soccer team. So what I always do is try to represent the overlooked in my true crime films, victims, and in sports. I would like to shine a light on athletes and coaches that have been overlooked.
Yeah.
So this film is for them. They deserve it, bottom line.
You mentioned your crime films, and that is another genre that you've developed quite a long roster of films in. What is it about the sports documentary, though, that has attracted you? This is not the only sports documentary you've done.
No, a lot of people don't know this, but I used to be a sportscaster. I had a very distinct style. You could watch a YouTube clip on me. It's called No Boring Sports, Charlie Min. I've been fired more than Al Capone's gun because of my style. It is so out there. Charles, you'll never believe it. If I became a sportscaster in El Paso, I would divide this city because I just say things. I'm not politically correct, and it's probably best that I'm just a filmmaker.
When you get involved with a team like this where you're telling a story that has a large arc over a longer career, you kind of know where that film is going to go when you get into it, or as you put the footage together, it sort of reveals itself to you in the editing?
Initially, you have an outline. I do an outline. I don't necessarily do a script for a documentary because you don't know what people are going to say.
Right.
So it's more of an outline / structure. And then as you shoot a film, things always tend to change and evolve because you find out new things. Just when you thought something else might work, it won't in the edit bay.
Certain characters emerge that are just organic and really great on film.
Mm-hmm. Every film is unique in its own way. And it's my job and my crew's job and really my editor and I to really come up with the best 90 minutes.
I think one of the elements of a number of your sports-related films have to do with high school sports.
Mm-hmm.
But also sort of underneath is the notion of the underdog. You know, these are hometown heroes. They are improbable heroes going off and winning in a much larger state and with much greater competition from schools with a lot more resources. Is that one of the things that attracts you to these particular stories?
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. In sports, the pro athlete is revered, and then you have college would be next, and then maybe high school. I mean, how many high school athletes do we really talk about? I mean, LeBron James, I mean, everyone knew who he was when he was at St. Vincent St. Mary in Akron, Ohio. But the high school athlete, they're extremely overlooked. And I understand why. People want to see – they want to talk about the Miami Heat. They want to talk about University of Michigan. Do they want to talk about El Paso Del Valle High School? Probably not. So I'm here to shine a light on those people that are overlooked and deserve the recognition.
This film is debuting on Friday at Premier Cinemas. Premier Cinemas has been pretty good to the El Paso film community. You've had several screenings there of other films, and I know other filmmakers who have had debuts and theatrical runs there. How is that relationship? Because they are a family-owned, Texas-based chain. They are a chain, but not anywhere near like the several national chains that seem to have monopolies on most cities.
Yep.
And they seem to be open to spotlighting some local work.
Premier Cinemas is truly independent, and they're great for the city.
Mm-hmm.
They're at Bassett Place Mall and also at Montwood Movie 7. They have two different locations. This film will open up at Bassett.
Right.
It's a beautiful theater. They just built an IMAX. They have a beautiful lounge. And Premiere is independent, and they give filmmakers a chance. The other big ones here are Cinemark, and that's a little bit harder. They're a corporation.
Yeah.
Their rules are very tight. And then you have Carmike, and they're a big one too, and their rules are pretty tight too.
Yeah.
But Premiere, let's take off the necktie, roll up the sleeves, let's have some fun, let's be independent and not be so strict with everything.
Fantastic. Now, will you be at the screenings next opening weekend?
I'm going to try to be. I always try to be at the movies opening weekend, especially in El Paso, because this is where I really got my start. If it wasn't for El Pasoans, I'd be the biggest wannabe loser filmmaker. I give credit to El Pasoans all the time.
Yeah,
they made my career. I tell you, I can't say enough about El Pasoans. Yeah. I mean, El Paso is my favorite city in the world. I'm well-traveled, and El Paso is my favorite.
Fantastic. And I guess if those screenings that you'll be at, you'll be taking some Q&A from the audience and maybe doing an introduction of sorts?
I'm not sure of that. It just depends on what they'll allow me to do. I mean, the Juarez films, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
This film, the story is not as deep and as emotional, but I'll certainly be there and meet the people who come in.
Well, you mentioned Juarez and your Juarez films. Now for something completely different, a big shift. I know a number of your films have explored the causes and effects of the violence in Juarez over the last decade. You've also tried to sort out the political and criminal roots of that violence in those films. And certainly the drug cartel leader, Chapo Guzman, figured prominently in your previous films. And you're working on another film about Chapo Guzman. Tell us about that.
This is a very dangerous film, and that's putting it mildly. He was captured on February the 22nd of this year in Mazatlan.
Big news.
Yes,
for those who follow what's happening.
Yeah,
in Mexico.
By the Mexican Marines in coordination with U.S. officials and DEA intelligence, and it's a very complicated matter right now. There's word that the United States is trying to get him to be extradited, mm-hmm. but Mexico, the last I read, is not going to release him. Enrique Peña Nieto, this is a huge victory for him, the Mexican president,
mm-hmm.
and he wants to show his people, the Mexican people, that we can do our job.
It's symbolic of cracking down somehow.
Yeah, the fate is in our hands. We're not going to let him go. And I know they detest the United States in terms of always making plea deals with criminals. And I think with this one, they want to show Mexico we're not going to blow it this time around, because he escaped the first time in Mexico.
Right.
Back in 2001. He was running for 13 years, and they finally caught him. And we talk about everything that led to his arrest and the aftermath. It's a very, very controversial situation, because a lot of people here in El Paso, I've polled them, they don't think it's him. They don't think that's the real Chapo Guzman. People in Sinaloa who revere him, they do think it's him.
Hmm.
So it's a very interesting situation. That's why the movie is called S.L. Chapo.
Yeah.
And it's going to be released nationwide this fall.
I'm wondering, when you heard that news, given your past films, did you just immediately think, I've got to grab a camera and get down there?
Yes.
This is part of the arc of the story you've been following for
things have been uncomfortable for me mentally for a couple of months. I'm not scared or nervous. I'm just uncomfortable, because when we went down to Sinaloa, that was uncharted territory for my crew and I. And the first instinct is you have to stay alive or there's no movie. So we got into Culiacan and Mazatlan. We went up to his hometown of La Tuna, which is in the far remote mountains. We're talking 3 hours north of the city.
Village.
We could have easily been shot on our way there. I can see why he hid in the mountains for 13 years. You can barely get up there. It's a miracle we got up there. We didn't even have a four-wheeler. It's rocky roads, remote, dangerous. Rocks can fall on you. It's muddy. You could slide. You could fall off a cliff. It's a miracle we got to La Tuna, and we made it. We made it back to El Paso in one piece, my crew and I.
You've interviewed a lot of people over the years, and the current film you're working on, who have knowledge of the cartels and the corruption in Mexico and some of the underlying roots of the violence and the that has plagued our sister city. You know, you mentioned that the folks in Sinaloa believe it's him. The folks in El Paso are not quite so sure. Is that going to be a major investigative strain through this new film, is trying to identify whether either Chapo has brilliantly substituted someone for himself to take the heat off, or whether the Mexican government somehow, in order to score political points, has at least said they have him when they don't.
I would say all that. As mentioned earlier, every film kind of evolves as you're making it. Mm-hmm. I have 5 months before releasing this, so we have the whole summer to get it right, and we are going to get it right. But those topics you mentioned, yes, we'll discuss that in the film. Is it really him? Do you think it's him, and why? If you think it's him, do you think he'll escape again? Does he have to be transferred to the United States? In the U.S., you're not allowed to use a cell phone in prison. In Mexico, the last time he was in jail, he turned that prison into his own palace.
Right.
I mean, he was throwing parties. He was bringing in prostitutes. He was literally paying everybody off. He spent $3 million, Charles, on his escape. He hired 71 people.
Which is not hard if you're the head of the Sinaloa
exactly.
cartel.
He hired 71 people to aid his escape, and they all went to jail. And the last guy, he shuttled him out in a laundry cart. That's how he escaped last time. Now I heard that he's being held in isolation for 23 hours. This is different now. He can't even go outdoors. So they're definitely cracking down and watching him like there's no tomorrow now to make sure he doesn't escape again. Everything surrounding his arrest to me is just so interesting. Was it arranged? Was this a legitimate, honest arrest? Is it really him? You can go on forever with this.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like also it'll be fascinating to see kind of his where he was all of this time. As you said, you know, a lot of your films have focused on Juarez and the part of Mexico that we can see from our homes here in El Paso. But you had to go down into the mountains, and I'm sure some of that footage is quite striking to get a sense of the culture that he lived within.
Very intriguing scenario. Through my research, Chapo was traveling all over Mexico. As they would say down there, he was everywhere and nowhere. He was hiding in plain sight.
Yeah.
He would walk into restaurants in Juarez with his 300 armed guards, as they would say. Mm-hmm. All the diners would be terrified because these guys walk in, and they take everyone's cell phone. We're taking your cell phones because we don't want you to tell everyone that Chapo's here or he'll be arrested.
Right.
So they'll lock up the restaurant, and Chapo will have filet mignon, he'll have beef, he'll have steak, some of the most expensive foods you can ingest. And then he'll pay for everyone's meal, return their cell phones, and walk out as if nothing happened.
Yeah. Fascinating. Well, I look forward to seeing that film, and I'm sure you'll have a debut here. Charlie, it's always great to see you. Good luck on finishing your next film.
Thank you, Charles.
I've been discussing two upcoming films by area documentary filmmaker and producer Charlie Min. Charlie Min's new sports documentary, The El Paso Quest, about the long-running winning streak of the Del Valle High School boys soccer team, will have its debut and initial theatrical run at the Premier Cinemas at Bassett Place next week, beginning on Friday, May 16th. To see a trailer for the film, log on to elpasoconquest.com. Charlie Min is in the middle of producing his next documentary feature, Es El Chapo, about the arrest of Mexican drug cartel leader Chapo Guzman. And to keep up with that film's progress, log on to eselchapo.com. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.